Hello, everyone, and welcome. This is Ash Hats Podcast. I'm your host, Mike. I'm being joined by Dustin, and we are in a very, very hot and humid studio today.
It's sticky.
It's quite moist in the, I like to call it Smoke Ridge Laboratory.
I have parts of my body sticking to other parts that I shouldn't be talking about on air.
Yeah, you know, when we decided to do the podcast and we said we were going to do a monthly episode, I never quite imagined that the June, July episodes would be quite this hot and sticky, but you know, we're in a garage and it is poorly ventilated.
It's very poorly ventilated.
I have a very small window. We each have our own fan blowing on us because we're both quite portly and need,
some more than others.
we need fan and quite
I'm certain you did this on purpose.
Yeah, well, I mean, you know,
the beard is getting bigger. I have about 60 to 65 left to lose, and I'm not shaving until it's gone. So recording this in a sauna,
yeah,
is
the beard looks majestic.
It's I didn't comb it today. I want it to be burly for
you. It does look burly is a good word to describe. But anyways, as we're here smoking cigars, we've already cut, we've already lit, and that's because this is a nice big smoke. This is a cigar that I just picked up not too long ago. It's interesting because usually we do cigars that are more mainstream, like Romeo and Juliet and Padron, and you know, we do the big name brands. This is a cigar that I came across with a company that was on Twitter and some of the Facebook groups that I joined, and it's Prohibition Cigars. Now, there's a Rocky Patel Prohibition, but this isn't that. This is a unique, individualized, customized
company.
So what
CAO is to cigars, Prohibition is to this.
Kinda. I mean, this is like, yeah, I mean, this is some guy came up with their own unique brand, which is very, very unique in the cigar world. It's not one of the big names. Very, very true. And it's becoming more popular. For anybody who's listening, you too can start your own cigar brand. I wanted to talk about that as we enjoy the cigar. But this is called the Batch OG. So this company, from what I understand on their website, has been around since 2021. They literally came out this year. And these weren't cheap. They were, I think, about $10 a stick. But I mentioned this cigar on the last podcast that what enticed me about it is their brands are unique. The bands, I should say, excuse me. They had like a $2 bill band that they were using quite often, which caught my eye. They gave you either a $5 to $100 bill with the order. They donate to St. Jude's. They're out of Miami, Florida. And the name of the company is Carl E. Rivera. They come in a brown pack, and they're real, like, I want to say boutique-ish.
So, I mean, like, when you get back to pricing, like, I'm getting away from it now, but like the small shop like micro breweries, mm-hmm. like you look at some of their four packs and you're paying like $6 to $8 a can of beer.
Exactly.
So I mean because they're not mass produced,
right?
So a small boutique cigar, like a micro smoke or whatever it's called, that might be on par, and that might actually be cheap.
This is exactly
the first hit. It tastes like a high-end cigar.
It's very, very good. When you smell the wrapper, it's very sweet. It has a very unique flavor to it. It's exactly like a microbrew, where it's not one of the big-name companies that comes out with these cigars that they're, you know, don't get me wrong, it's masterfully blended, but it's someone who came up with this idea for a cigar and decided to market it and has put it out there, and they have several different brands, and I strongly recommend anybody go on their website, prohibitioncigars.com, and, you know, start looking at their materials. But, you know, our topic is Prohibition. We wanted to do a topic that goes along with the cigar, and it's not just like a historical concept where we talk about, you know, how it was in the U.S. where you couldn't
buy alcohol. I guess that's like what I thought we were going to have with this, so it excites me to know we're not sticking at the history, because that is not my Jeopardy category of choice by any means.
Well, and again, I know a little bit about it, but what I really wanted to talk about is not only like, you know, how the cigar, you know, industry is allowing for people to come out with these sort of unique brands, but just like laws in general. I figured we would have a unique conversation about the smoking age and about firearm regulations. And I'm not in too much of a need to get too political, but at the same time, I think it's worth having a conversation about. So
I'm always down. I mean, it's, whenever this conversation arises around friends, I tend to take the quiet side. I'm a big fan of, if I don't know a lot about the topic, I'm not going to pontificate an idea that I'm not intellectually knowledgeable on.
Right, and I agree with you.
You know, if I can throw my two cents in and add to the topic, then I will. But if I'm going to talk like a jackass. I'm, you know.
Right. And that's, everybody has an opinion. There's a famous quote that opinions are like assholes, right? Everybody has one, and usually everyone else's stinks but yours, right? And I think
unless you're Mike Ferris, because then your opinion is
flower. What can I say? I mean, I do have a certain way about me, but nevertheless, this is one of those sort of topics and ideas that everybody has opinions about. You know, certain legal aspects that go on in the U.S. And I figured it would be worth having conversations about. You're already relighting. I love it.
No, I canoed. I think it's because of the fan.
Oh yeah, that's true.
The fan is.
I canoed a little bit also, and I have the fan blowing on me, and hopefully our listeners don't mind the sound of the fan that's keeping us alive in here.
Yeah, it's helping me with my goals. Hmm.
But one thing I did want to talk about before I get too into like prohibition and stuff is about basically starting up your own cigar brand. Like one of the things on their website is if you'd like to be, you know, get information about starting up your own cigar brand, please message us. And I started researching it and I thought about doing it myself. Like,
so I think that would be a tremendous idea.
Uh-huh.
I think.
Absolutely.
We're in a great area, pardon me, an area that can do that because we have very unique soil mm-hmm. in NEPA.
Oh, yeah.
We are so rich in the coal mine. And I think I mentioned to you when I'm about 7 years ago that we should do it.
We did, yeah.
And you scoffed me so wretched. Yeah, let's do it in your backyard where there's 2 square feet of yard. And yeah, well, how are we going to keep it going in the winter? And I was like, you know what, you're right.
We had conversations about starting up a brewery and a church. Remember that? That was a conversation.
I still think we should. Monk and Drunkies.
Was that it?
And specialized in German and Abbey triples.
Needs and shit like
yeah.
that.
Yeah. Listen, it might still be in my 20-year plan.
It's not a bad idea. But, and again, I was thinking about that. Like, you don't have to own the tobacco in order to do this. Like, that's what I always thought you had to do in order to be, like, a big-name company.
So, until right now, I thought you'd have to grow it and do all that.
And do it yourself. From my understanding, and again, I'm not an expert on this, this company, like Prohibition Cigars, you contract out essentially the cigars from the manufacturers. So there are certain factories in Nicaragua and Honduras that they produce cigars specifically for Cohiba and Romeo Juliet and CAO. But there are little factories that are independent, that produce cigars that you can actually get involved with.
So you can just buy the leaf.
Exactly.
No shit.
You can buy basically the product of these factories, and you can put your label on it, and you can get involved a little bit with the blending. You can get involved with
it. It's almost
like
dropshipping.
It is. It's a very interesting market because I didn't realize that's how it worked. And I've been researching it. The big issue is the federal regulations.
Well, we're in Pennsylvania.
Right.
And Pennsylvania is one of the best in terms of taxation on tobacco. That's
true.
Why Cigars International is here.
Yep.
Cigar.com is here.
Mm-hmm.
All of these cigar companies and factories are in Pennsylvania.
That's right.
Because of the taxation. Mm-hmm. I'm very intrigued by this, Michael.
And that's the thing. I did a little bit of research on it and I was interested. But I've seen there's actually a guy who has a cigar brand in Jessup. And I'm just kind of figuring out how these people are doing it. And that's kind of what it is. It's not so much that they don't own the company itself, but they own their own personal brand that they're placing on a cigar kind of mixture. So it's from what I understand, you have to kind of be in the know. And what I'm interested in doing is talking to some people and trying to get more of my foot in the door with some maybe reps that are interested in this
sort of
field.
Well, you definitely keep me posted. I want to be involved in
the,
that.
The emails are going out and the topic.
The feelers.
The feelers are going out there. But again, like I said, it's expensive. None that I'd like to share just yet, just because there are some.
So this is going to be a sole proprietorship. You're not looking for a partnership?
No, not necessarily.
Okay.
I mean, I could potentially go in a partnership or a group, but I was kind of just looking at how much it would actually cost.
What are the costs?
The biggest costs really are the federal regulations. You have to be apparently approved by the FDA for your blend in order for you to make a sale of a tobacco product in the U.S. So it's not so much the state taxes, but it's all the federal hoops that you have to jump through in order for this to work. And that's what hinders most people from doing it, from what I understand.
Now, can you do, stay on topic of prohibition, something like under?
Oh, under the table. I would be nervous about going.
And you know why I'm going to say that's too nerve-wracking? Yeah. Because a lot of the FDA and the... Mm-hmm. I know police officers, they all have their cigars.
Yep.
So, oh, where'd you get this from? You hand that to the wrong person who might be at a party or not, but they have a civic duty to do their job.
Yep. ATF is an organization that exists within our government that is tasked with looking at crimes in alcohol, tobacco, and firearms. And those are the three that, you know, fall under their purview. And that's why I wouldn't necessarily try to go and try to skirt the law.
You do it the right way. You could sleep a lot better at night.
I want to say the numbers that I was looking at were close to about 10 to 20,000 in order to actually get up and running bans, names, marketing, all that printed, which is not a lot of money.
That's not bad.
No, it's not.
That's not bad. That's about what I did with Junk of Monkeys.
Right. And that's what I'm saying is that this is something that is doable. I think anybody who's interested in doing this can, but you need to be a little bit more knowledgeable on it and talk to the right people.
You have to know. You can't just throw 20 grand at a dartboard and hope it sticks.
Exactly.
You have to know, be very tactical. And you're good with that. So if that's the route that you want to go, I want to support you and do everything I can.
We love cigars, and this is definitely something
so exciting.
Right. Well, and again, I don't necessarily know if this is the route I'm going to go.
No, but I'm going to push you to go.
Right. Well, I mean, we'll see how that
goes. You know, I like to get pushy.
But nevertheless, this is the way that they've gone about it. And technically, every company has done this. They had a brand that they wanted, and they were involved with the
tobacco. Can I make a recommendation?
Sure.
Two things. One, trust YouTube.
Oh,
YouTube has so much knowledge.
Oh, absolutely.
But number two, being that you're doing it, every single step you do and every way you obtain this knowledge, write it down, because that's your ebook.
Oh,
that's
yeah.
your course that you can sell.
True.
That there's a lot of money in gaining knowledge.
Oh, absolutely. And educating others. Yeah.
Yep. And
absolutely.
Educating others with how you educate yourself.
Right. And again, Prohibition Cigars, they have it right on their website. If you'd like to be involved in individualized cigar brands, give us a holler. And it seems like they're very interested in reaching out to the public.
There's a lot of money in that.
There is, absolutely. And what's also interesting is their location. Miami, Florida is a hotbed of cigar brands, and there's a lot of cigar
smokers. Because it's weather like this garage every day.
Exactly, right? And they are basically in the center of, you know, part of a Cuban sort of atmosphere, plus there's also a lot of people who are involved in the cigar industry out of Florida. But again, like you said, in Pennsylvania, we have a lot of unique attributes as well. So I am interested in researching it more. And for anybody who's listening, you know, it's something that you can go. But yes, anybody can own essentially a cigar brand. You don't have to own the factory,
now,
basically.
What would be the overhead, like how much space you need to do it,
and
like,
that's the thing, is you don't need much, because
think about, like, I bet you could do it right on your tool table.
And again, there's a lot to be said about, you know, you don't have to know how to roll a cigar, because that's a really cool technique, that's a really cool feature, but that's what the workers do. I mean, if you're trying to come up with a brand, kind of trying to come up with a blend, that's the interesting part about it, is these big companies, they make their own blends, and they really have a name they have a hand in flavor.
It's almost like making a multivitamin.
Yeah, kind of.
You find
the balance.
Certain balance,
right,
that would obtain that goal, like whether it be cholesterol or weight gain, weight loss.
Right.
You know, that specific nutrient that you can blend into one vitamin, one pill, one caplet. That can obtain many flavors.
Right, exactly. And that's unique about the cigar industry, is that their products are handmade. Each individual cigar comes from a specific blending of different, you know, tobaccos from different tobacco leaves. And I think that it makes it uniquely special, but it does cost some money. I mean, it's something that if you're interested in getting into, you do need some overhead.
Yeah, spend money and make money.
Right. And then, you know, there's also the idea that you could start up a shop. You know, a lot of the people who own cigar lounges and things like that, they are involved with just the sale of a brand specifically.
But I don't know how much you need a shop as much as a shop on the go. Like something that, like, because you see it, like when we go to cigar parties, they all come with like luggages and suitcases. You open it up and they have each box ready to go. So you pop open four boxes, boom, 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 you have your shop on the go.
I kid you not. There's somebody on Facebook I noticed that had a cigar brand that they were selling out of their back porch on East Mountain in Scranton. Like, it's their brand. It has an Italian name. I have to look it up. It's like Toscano or something like that. They had a cigar party not too long ago at the Laceworks Laceworks Pub, excuse me, in Scranton.
Yep.
And my wife messaged them, and I got involved talking with them. And again, there are people out there who are interested in doing this.
Seems like, all things considered, it's a growth period for cigars. It is.
This has been a very, very large amount of interest in cigars. The pandemic has brought people into new hobbies, and cigar smoking has become a very, very popular hobby amongst people who were kind of stuck indoors looking for something to do. They picked up a cigar at a graduation or a birthday party or something, and they got hooked a little bit on it, and now they're interested in all of the unique
things. Pique the curiosity.
Yeah, exactly. And that's something, we enjoyed it, you know, years ago, but it's something that I've been interested in looking at and researching. And who knows what the future will bring. I mean, it's something to consider.
I'm very happy that you're even considering it because...
Well, thank you.
As with our episode with Team No Script to Life,
yeah.
It seemed like... I don't want to say you were closed-minded, but you you weren't. So that's not the right word, but you were somewhat. And maybe hesitant to...
Oh, yeah. And I think a lot of people are hesitant about starting up a new business.
It's the scariest thing I've ever done.
Oh, absolutely.
And I was just talking to my buddy Tommy today, who's also a small business owner, and he said he owns a does car cleaning.
Oh yeah,
and he's like, I had nothing on the schedule today.
Yep.
And I'm getting the kayaks ready. I'm cleaning them. I'm going on the lake.
Right.
I'm like, Tommy, and the best part is you didn't have to tell your boss you were calling in sick.
Right. The work comes to you, and you work your ass off when the work's there, and when the time's off, you work to improve yourself and better yourself.
We were just saying, like, you have busy times. Like, right now, we haven't talked in 10
days.
I know,
you've been swamped.
Oh, my God. And
the group text has been absent of Dustin for almost nearly, like, 4 or 5 days, and I figured, well, Dustin has got to be in.
It's even the weekend. Like,
the moist basements of
NEPA. But like, on the weekend, like, my whole job is predicated on that cell phone that I don't even want to be near it. You know, like, I want, mostly for my, like, no, I don't want to say mostly, but a lot of it's because of my eyes.
Mm-hmm.
You know, like, you're texting clients, you're calling clients, you're looking at this 3-inch by 6-inch phone for 8 hours a day. Like, it's, you get buggy.
You gotta get the blue, so light, then, the blue, like, light filter.
Yeah, and it's like, she wants to go driving somewhere, what, it's awesome.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I just want my eyes on anything else, and I read it, but like 10 o'clock right. When the topic is Mugen.
Yep. Well, what can I say? I mean, it's the summer. It's, for me, this is my break, and this is when I'm off of school. I'm doing summer school, so I've got, you know, students that I'm still educating and trying to get everybody on par with what they've got to do. But at the same time, I'm still taking a break. Before I go any further, what do you think of the cigar?
It's excellent.
It's very well constructed.
You know, for as big as it is, it's burning fast.
6.5 inches long. And, I mean, I've got about 1 inch into it already. I let this one, so a little tip, I let it dry a little bit. So I took it out of the humidor about an hour ago.
Okay.
Because this is real humid weather, and my humidor is hot. Like, it's, I want to
say. Well, you're more of a 72 type.
I usually run my humidor a little bit more moist. I've been trying to keep it 70, 71, and I noticed that they do burn a little quicker when they're drier. And this type of weather, it's humid out. Like,
that could be why I'm a fly.
Naturally humid. So I let it sit out for an hour, and I would recommend if anybody has a humidity issue, you know, let it sit out for a little bit before you smoke it. That's a little trick I learned from smoking pipes, because with pipe tobacco, it's always moist in the tin. So you take it out and you let it sit for anywhere from 15 minutes to a half hour before you actually pack the pipe with it. And that way it'll dry out enough, because if you smoke it and it's too wet, it'll just burn itself out and burn itself out and burn itself out. It's terrible. But it has a unique flavor. It's kind of like...
earthy.
It is. It's always earthy, right? But
always
earthy. It has a mixture of like a really deep, strong tobacco flavor.
It's almost deep enough that it would almost be like a coffee ground chocolate.
I was just going to say, like, it has a really coffee sort of flavor to it.
But, like, you get that, like, little chalk, not like, nothing like the espresso cigar we had a couple weeks back, or months back, but it's almost so coffee that, like, it almost tastes like a dark chocolate bar.
It's a very natural, really dark good. Chocolate flavor, cocoa flavor. Like, it really does have that sort of sweetness to it, just a little bit, but it's not like an overpowering sweetness.
So how did you buy it?
I bought theirs strictly online.
Okay.
I saw them on Facebook, and then I caught up with them on Twitter, and they retweeted one of my things, and you know I follow them on Twitter now, but they are direct sales.
That's
direct
awesome.
Right from their website.
Which is rare for us.
Right. Usually we go through one of the big retailers.
Is this the first time we're buying a direct?
This is the first time we're buying direct, yeah.
Well, you're buying.
Well, but... yeah. I mean, you know, I'm always buying, right? It's always true. Yeah. You didn't Venmo me for the last one.
I sure did.
You did not. No.
That's an off-air conversation that we are absolutely going to have on break.
That is a true lie. Did you see Venmo? Isn't, like, they're changing their rules or whatever that, like, they're making it so you can't see certain things on your friends list or whatever.
It's
like
always fun.
You can make it more private, though. Like, if you want, you can make things...
That's actually helped my business, because people are somewhat ashamed sometimes of their junk and whatnot.
I can imagine so.
Which is fine. You know, it's part of the territory, but it's... I've noticed that we've had a spike in Venmo transactions.
Yeah. How awesome is Venmo, though? Like, when I used to tutor, I wish to God I had Venmo, because... Like, without it, you're relying on people with cash, and if they didn't have cash, you're waiting for them the next time.
My question is, though, why didn't we use PayPal in the manner we use Venmo?
I don't know. That's a great question, because we really didn't. Like,
it's
PayPal,
the same exact thing.
It's exactly the same thing, and yet Venmo is just so much cooler, because it has that sort of, like, personal
45 and older, I'll have PayPal.
Yep.
Everyone under 45, we just got a Venmo transaction while we were on air.
Exactly. I mean, it's super easy and convenient and quick, and... It's changed things. It makes me wonder, and again, our topic on prohibition, about the legal aspects of it. Like, people try to hide and money launder through Venmo. And I'm wondering how, you know, it's going to come out and how it's going to be when, you know, certain things are kind of, you know, going against the grain or hidden via your Venmo payments.
I don't know. We keep everything as upfront as it could on the books.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
But I could see it.
Yeah.
It's the old rule of thumb is, and this isn't us.
No, right.
But it's, if you're going to hide anything, you do it in the cash.
Right, exactly.
And
that's what it is.
It's an electronic fingerprint.
Right, exactly.
And also, I don't like to have money in there because it's so new.
Right.
And I think it is a category of PayPal. So, I mean, maybe this is more towards like Cash App, Zelle.
Mm-hmm.
And I've never had an issue, but I've heard people who have. That how's the securities behind it?
Oh, absolutely.
You know,
I can't imagine. That's one of the biggest crimes right now is security fraud.
Cybersecurity, yeah.
Oh, my God. And, you know, it makes you think about all the invisible cash. I don't know if we've had this conversation before, but there's so many, you know, companies that are going cashless. And it makes you wonder about, you know, the need and necessity for money and for, you know, physical actual
I think
money.
I foresee our grandchildren living in a cashless, paperless world.
And are you happy with that?
I won't be here to care, but I think it's dangerous. Here's the thing. This is totally off topic.
That's what I like about this podcast.
But the only way your money can work for you is if it's electronic. What does that mean? Stock market is electronic at this point.
Mm-hmm.
Roth IRAs are electronic. Investments are predominantly electronic. So if you have your cash in a cash box, it's going to stay as constant as how much money you put in, how much money you take out. It's not going to make you any extra money. It's not going to... Now, you're going to say, okay, well, it's tax-free, yada, yada. Yes, but I'd rather have my money in a Roth IRA so that it can grow at a...
You need
different
to have your
form
money
tax
make money.
Of tax-free.
Yeah, I 100% agree with you. There's a lot of people who leave. Now, granted, I have some money put away for emergencies, but if you're just leaving that money in there and it's not working for you, then what exactly are you doing with it? Like,
you're not spending it?
You can't sleep on it. Some people used to stuff their mattresses with it. It's not doing anything for you. Absolutely right. I agree with you. Now, I like silver. I'm a big proponent on precious metals. And I would strongly recommend anybody who's investing to go that route.
Significant difference.
Yes, very significant, because the price does fluctuate. I am very, very cautious on, you know, the securities behind Venmo and PayPal. But at the same time, I agree with you. It's going to be so ubiquitous. It's going to be a point where it's not going to be necessary. I think I'm still shocked that the penny still exists. Like, what purpose is there for having a penny, right?
Doesn't.
Now, this is an interesting thing. I was actually thinking about this. Do you donate for when you go to a store? Do you donate?
Never.
If you donate to those charities, the company donates that money in their name and uses it as a tax write-off.
That's why I don't.
That's, and I was just thinking about this. I was like that's a terrible way to go about things. Like, what a crummy way.
I worked at a retail store. I don't even know if Olympia's still around, so I'll use their name. But I got wind of that, and that was it. And I don't feel bad because as my brand donates so much to the area,
exactly,
that I don't. If somebody says, "Will you donate to St. Jude?" In my mind, I do a little prayer for those who are in need of St. Jude, but I won't provide that rollover
to a company. Exactly.
Because of.
That's the same reason why I don't use the self-checkout. I am such a stickler for not using self-checkout because I'm not getting paid to scan my own stuff. And I can see your face already. You're like, get out of here. I don't like self-checkout at all at a grocery store.
You have three items.
Yep. I will stand in line. I am that guy.
Even though the self-checkout's empty.
Yep, 100%.
And you understand how time is the most valuable fossil fuel we have.
It is. And yet, and so is a human resource. That company is using you to do their job. You don't get a discount on that item.
Yes, you do.
For using self-checkout?
Absolutely. You get
You get time.
Oh, my God. What a great discount.
Absolutely not.
Oh.
You're taking a job away from somebody.
I don't humbly disagree.
You disagree.
I adamantly disagree.
I'm glad we found something that we disagree on, because usually we agree on it.
I vehemently disagree, because this enables you to get 10 minutes. Or, I mean, it's a variable, for sure. Like, it could fluctuate. It could be 10 minutes. It could be 2 minutes, but you get time.
I do agree.
That 10 minutes, I get to spend with David and Benny.
I do agree that your time is valuable, and that having extra time is, but you should use the time that you have in the most effective way possible.
So you standing in line to prove a point that this human...
No, not to prove a point.
So what is it? Why do you do it?
I do it in the hopes that more people will, because if nobody uses self-checkout, then they'll stop providing it.
I'm going to openly say I think you're pigheaded in this regard.
I am not. I don't. It's kind of like, have you ever heard of the saying, if you stop going to bad movies, they'll stop making bad movies?
No, I've never heard that.
That's a fantastic saying. If you stop going to bad movies, they'll stop making them.
Will they? Because I still watched Fantastic Four 4 years ago.
That was a terrible movie.
They're still making them.
I know, but if you stop going to them, then they'll stop making them. I'm a big believer in the idea that if we stop supporting things that suck, then they'll stop doing things that suck.
what your definition of suck is much different than mine.
Very true.
Sometimes.
Very true.
I think it's an opinionated topic in terms of movies, but when you're talking about standing in line in hopes that others do it, while you have four registers...
Are you okay with those people losing their jobs?
They shouldn't. They should be... What they should do is find other means for them to work in that facility.
I agree with that.
Okay, so...
If they actually do it.
But why can't they be more versatile? If there's an influx in the bakery, send the cashiers to the bakery to help in the bakery.
I agree with that.
If they shouldn't lose their jobs, they should be rerouted to become more versatile and allow the growth, not just in the business side, but on the human side.
And that would be good if they actually did that. And I don't feel like companies do that. I really don't.
If you stop seeing the bad movies, maybe they'll reroute the bad movies to different departments.
That makes absolutely sense.
Oh, put it on Netflix. Put it on Netflix.
Well, I would say that most good things end up on Netflix. I mean, look at Cobra Kai. It was on YouTube Red, and then they switched over to Netflix. And they're huge now.
You're working hard to prove a point.
I'm not working hard to prove a point.
Cobra Kai is great.
Cobra Kai is fantastic.
I've never seen it, but I hear great things.
It is really, really good.
You watch Castlevania yet?
No, I haven't
seen
it yet.
That's four episodes. That's 4 months.
Yeah, that's ridiculous. That's crazy. We've been watching Cruel Summer, which has been real big on our list. It's really good.
I haven't watched anything new. Yankees have been.
Yeah, then I know.
That's
right?
An abusive relationship.
If you stop watching bad teams, they'll stop playing terrible. That makes no sense. I do not support self-checkout at all. I hate it. Absolutely hate it.
I love self-checkout because I think that it's so efficient.
It is.
And it allows me to... I could still interact with people. Every time I go to self-checkout, they always have that one human like at the control center.
Right.
I always interact with them.
Right. Do you successfully navigate self-checkout every time?
10 out of 10 times.
9 out of 10 times.
There's 10 out of 10 times.
10 out of 10 times. It's usually if I ever do, which is Christina will go and do it.
I will admit a gripe.
Yep.
I have a Fidelity Bank card.
Yep.
And their cards are made in a different territory.
Mm-hmm.
So they're not like my Capital One card. So if I go to Wally World and I use my Fidelity card,
mm-hmm.
it comes up transaction declined
yep.
because it won't read my chip until the third time.
Terrible.
Do you know how embarrassing it is to have a declined transaction at Walmart?
I've had it happen before.
Yeah, I have too. Multiple times. That is embarrassing because then she needs to come over and enter in her Voodoo so I can swipe my card.
Yep.
That's embarrassing. But other than that, I'll still take that so I don't have to stand in the checkout line that's all the way back to electronics.
True. I'll give you another one. I don't like using the ATM. I hate it.
That's all. I haven't been inside a bank, like inside talking to a teller, in well over 2 years and I own a business.
I will admit that automation is the wave of the future. I mean, there's going to be a point where most of these things, and that's what self-checkout is. They've turned a job that normally is controlled by a human into a job that's controlled by a machine. It scares me.
Did you know that the debit card actually came out during our existence?
I believe it.
I think we were like 9 or 10, but before
it.
That was just hell, check your cash.
The advent of the internet came out. I mean, hell, when did people really use the... I mean, it came out in the 50s, but it wasn't like as big as it was until most recently. I think things have changed so greatly. But so now everyone knows that I hate self-checkout and that you are a big proponent of self-checkout.
I'm not. I mean, I'm happy it exists, but it's mostly because of the efficiency of giving me more time on this to do what I want on this plan instead of sitting there.
I agree with you. I agree that it definitely does save you time. It definitely does.
I'm glad you're agreeing to disagree. And yes. I'm glad that you see my points and I struggle to see your points.
Yes, that is true. So we're about a half hour in. I think this is a good time to take a break so that we can
talk about Venmo transactions.
Yeah, potentially wipe the sweat off of our brow as we
and beards
get back on topic since we have to talk a little bit about prohibition.
Yeah, we got way off topic.
Yeah, but I'm like that because I mean that's what smoking cigars is about. I haven't seen you in a month and
probably since the last podcast.
Since the last podcast, wow. I haven't seen you in a. I would say. Before we go and break that, this is burning. The construction on the cigar is fantastic.
Everything is great.
Good. Hasn't gotten bitter at all. It's stayed lit, and I'm roughly about a halfway in. So I think we're about halfway into this. So when we come back, we'll have a little conversation on some of the fun legal aspects that are going on in the U.S. right now, and we'll talk a little bit about prohibition. And we'll be right back. All right, everyone, and welcome back. This is Mike with Ash Hats Podcast, and I'm joined with my co-host here, Dustin. We've been smoking the Prohibition Cigar Batch OG, and this is a interesting, individualized, almost boutique brand of cigar, and it's good.
I thought we'd be here about 2 hours
at
the initial sight of it.
6.5 inches, 52 ring.
It looks big.
Yeah, it's massive.
I don't know if it, like you mentioned about the humidity,
mm-hmm.
but it's smoking great.
It's going quick. Yeah, I'd say I'm about halfway done.
It's about the same.
It's still got, I'd say it's the first third and like into this, the flavor hasn't changed much. And I noticed this, I actually did smoke, I cheated a little bit. I did have one of these cigars before we had the podcast and it was good. I was playing video games while doing it, and I've come to realize that when I smoke cigars and play video games at the same time, I don't get to enjoy the flavor of the cigar as much. I used to get like my balls busted on like social media and stuff, like, oh, you should be sitting there and relaxing while you're smoking a cigar instead of doing something. And it's like, I don't know if I like that. And that's actually an interesting comment because that's part of the thing that I wanted to talk about in the podcast was, you know, now that we're back and talking about prohibition is things that you should do versus things that you shouldn't do, or things that you can do, or things that you may want to do that maybe aren't correct.
Keep it PG now. What's the weirdest thing you've done with a cigar?
The weirdest thing I did, I got a lot of funny, a lot of shit for putting the cigar in your microphone holder and using that to actually smoke it.
You're so fucking uncouth sometimes. I know.
And people were busting my chops. And I did that for a photo op just to get laughs on Facebook. Everyone's like, that's stupid. And I was like, yeah, I know. I didn't really smoke it the whole way with it there. But it did work. It kept my hands free playing video games. Yeah, in your microphone holder, I did it. Because you have the long arm microphone that's adjustable. And yeah.
Yeah, meanwhile, you have your little...
I have a boom arm, actually.
Boom arm.
I like my suit.
Yeah, we have a nice setup in here.
I do. I enjoy
all things considered.
Yeah. I enjoy the laboratory. And again, that's something like whether you should do something or shouldn't do something. I think we set it up, and you know, it's not exactly soundproof, and you know, it's not exactly cool in here. I want to get an air conditioner, but it works for us, and it makes a show, you know, fun. I think we did a good job.
I think once we get that podcast room, which can all but confirm August 1st, they'll be ready to go.
There you go.
I think that'll be good.
Right. I can't wait to see. I know you've got a lot of content creation ideas.
Oh, it's
going to
be great. Going
to get the business going with that. But anyways, the idea here is like, so Prohibition was something that happened in the U.S. in the 1920s. And basically, you were prohibited from drinking alcohol. It's called the Volstead Act. There was a constitutional amendment. The 18th Amendment said that basically you couldn't consume alcohol outside of like medicinal reasons and things like that. So a doctor could prescribe you medication that had alcohol in it. And that's how a lot of doctors kind of got around the whole way of not allowing you to drink, because you'd just go to the doctor and say, well, can I have this medicine? And it would be like 80% alcohol. And
it would be Jack Daniels.
It's kind of like what happened with medical marijuana.
Yeah, I was going to say, like, and here's my conspiracy theory on that,
mm-hmm.
was the inability to tax it.
Yep. That's a big part of it is taxation. And
so once they made it medicinal, mm-hmm. it kind of gave them time to figure out the taxation of it.
Right.
Once they figured it out, now you're starting to see more bars, more alcohol being served.
Mm-hmm.
When I say bars, in 2021, I mean
dispensaries,
yeah. But it's true. Like, it's very congruent with one another.
Well, and social norms have changed. Back then, there was a temperance movement, and drunkenness was common. Like, you had a town drunk who, you know, was kind of a social pariah, and there was a big movement to get, you know, to get rid of that, to
clean
people
it
to
up.
Stop it, to clean it up. And you know, I think that the motives were good. Obviously, you don't want public drunkenness to be an issue. But at the same time, when you tell people not to do something, they're just going to find ways to get around it. I mean, you had bootleggers and rum runners who basically set up the routes for, you know, running alcohol throughout this country. And now we have these big alcohol manufacturers in places like Milwaukee and in Boston.
Colorado.
Colorado, where a lot of the hotbed action of these sort of bootleg and rum running happened, right? So, I mean, there's definitely a lot of history involved with Prohibition. I kind of wanted to ask your opinion on it. Like, what do you think about prohibiting people from doing something that they enjoy? Like, that's what alcohol is used for. It's consumed for enjoyment.
I disagree with it. I would have disagreed with it in the 20s, I'm sure.
Mm-hmm.
I think if you leave it up to the proper procedures,
mm-hmm.
Some people are able to identify when alcohol is good for them, and they can tolerate and handle it.
Mm-hmm.
And then there's others who can't.
Right.
And as a 35-year-old, I had to look at myself in the mirror, because in my early 30s, I was struggling. A lot of this weight is because of my consumption of the heavy IPAs and the microbrews, and they're great.
Right.
But there's pros and cons. And so now I drink more of the seltzers, mm-hmm. and now I don't do it a whole case a night, or, you know what I mean? Like, and that's things that I had to identify. Some things obviously I think should be illegal, such as heavy narcotics, but because there's no enjoyment out of that.
I don't know. I that's a good question, because, you know, it was alcohol, and now it's like tobacco has gotten into that because they changed the smoking age from 18 to 21 just recently.
But I feel like, again, if you see yourself becoming addicted to it,
mm-hmm.
and you do know subliminally when you are or aren't, then it's a mirror check.
Right.
You know, and it's something, though, like, everyone's so built different mm-hmm. that when they do that mirror check and the results, as people who are close to you and care about you, you have to love and respect it no matter the results.
Right.
And that's okay.
It's tough because I have a hard time. I always try to think of things from a biological perspective. And you think about like the things that you put in your body, like the things that you need. You need sugar. You need water. You need proteins. You need fats. You need all those sort
and
of things.
And we're talking about tobacco and alcohol.
Yeah.
But sugar addictions are real.
Yeah.
And caffeine addictions
absolutely.
Are real. And marijuana addictions
yeah.
real. I just saw on Twitter somebody saying, I went 30 days without marijuana.
Mm-hmm.
And I thought my life would be the same. But wow. The clarity, the this, the that, the benefits.
Right.
And, I mean, like Mike Tilbury always says, the ones who came before us, like, you look at Native Americans that
mm-hmm.
just lived off the land, that vegan diet, that were so much different, so much healthier. I think there's some truth to it.
But they had tobacco.
They did. And
they found something that gave them enjoyment. Ben Franklin had that famous saying that God gave humans beer. I can't remember the exact quote, but it's like God gave humans beer for enjoyment or something like that. I have to look that up. But it's true that we're so advanced as a culture that we're able to take things from the environment. Like we have all these medicinal drugs that were never naturally occurring that, you know, now we can take an aspirin when we're feeling in pain, or if we had a bad day at work, you can come home and have a cigar. And it's just interesting that from a civilized societal perspective that they have to go in and take that away from you. Like, I don't know. I have a hard time with the smoking age specifically. I was really surprised that they changed it from 18 to 21. Really was, because
I think that was more so for the cigarettes.
And vaping. Vaping
and
was
vaping.
A huge issue with
I
that.
I think the nicotine proved to do such damage to predominantly the demographic ahead of us, like our parents,
right?
For instance. Like, it did such damage, and they see that. That now that in 18 you're in high school,
right?
And you have that peer pressure. Now that you're in 21, I think it eliminates that high school peer pressure, which I don't want to say I disagree with you because I don't,
right?
But I think just to give an alternative perspective, that could have been in the ruling.
I agree. I think there's a lot to be said about what we know and what we don't know. Because, I mean, obviously lung cancer is a major issue, and there's...
And getting back to your thing about, like, the human chemistry and,
mm-hmm.
like, the everyone is different. So,
true.
How I smoke the cigar and how our friend smoked this cigar
mm-hmm.
will interact with them so different.
How it affects them, yeah. And how often. I smoke a lot more cigars than you do. And
absolutely.
I can't say that I'm necessarily healthier than you or that, you know, we're... But again,
well, you are, but it's not due to the
I don't know
cigar
that.
Consumption,
right? Are you here for a long time or are you here for a good time? Right? I mean, there's a lot to be said about what you do and what you enjoy and what you want to do, right? And I bring this up because I was in a Facebook group and I posted a pic on a technique. So one of the techniques that I like to do is the tip of the cigar to cut it, right? And how deep you cut it. Because if you cut it too deep, then you cut the cap off. And some people were questioning, like, oh, some people cut it so deep and you cut into the wrapper. I was saying, well, what you should do is you should cut it the depth of the cigar cutter. And somebody quickly wrote back and was like, you do whatever the hell you want to do. I agree with that to
now,
an extent.
We didn't talk about that. How'd you cut yours today?
I cut it with a straight cut, and I did.
I cut it with a straight cut, and there's a V cut staring at me right now.
You're thinking that you should have cut a V cut?
No, I'm happy I went with this, and the reason I went with that is because
the length and how big it is.
Exactly. Like if I hole punched this puppy,
mm-hmm.
I'd be here till tomorrow.
Yep. I with a cigar this big, I did straight cut specifically for that reason because I didn't want it to take forever.
We should do a hole punch cigar. We have yet to.
We
do
haven't done. Did we do? I can't remember. I don't know. If we've done
I've
one.
Done all V's, but just because
I usually do a straight cut. That's my favorite cut.
Mine's V.
But that's something to be said about. Like, how you smoke. Like, is there a right way or a wrong way to do it? Like I was saying, should you be playing video games while you smoke a cigar?
So, I think that there should be... again, this might come off as a dumb thing, but there should be some kind of... something like a DMV.
Oh, yeah, you're
where
saying
you go, and maybe everyone does the same shot of whiskey.
Yep.
And how it reacts to them. will show whether they can have...
They can handle it, yep.
At 18 versus 21. Same with a cigar. Same with tobacco. If you have a cigar at 18 and you get the spins, you act silly, you're passing out, you're turning white, listen, you're going to get your card next year, buddy.
Right.
You know, if you're going in and doing a shot of whiskey, half hour passes, you take an alcohol test or a breathalyzer, and it's nothing, and you can handle it.
Well, and
do you know what I mean?
No, I do. But what's interesting about that is the perspective that you're taking is that there should be a body, the DMV, the people who are controlling the scenes, who give you the option to do this.
Having having controls in place,
mm-hmm.
while understanding the controls are in place because they understand that the human makeup is different for each and every human.
Right.
So it would eliminate that main control. Like, oh, it's all 21.
Right.
You know, no. There's 25, 26-year-olds who still can't.
Right.
And, you know, it's having that conversation like, your chemistry disallows you from having. You shouldn't do it. Now, at one age, there's a cutoff. Like, at 25, you can't be babysat anymore. Or I'm saying 25 is the variable, but, like, whatever that age is, 21. But if your body chemistry is mature enough and able to handle it at a younger age, I think it's...
And again, it's interesting because the perspective you're taking is maturity level. And again, not
by,
only...
And now by saying maturity level, I'm saying internal.
Yeah, absolutely. Your age. Yeah. And it makes you wonder, you know, I think it's like in France or Germany, like you can drink at 12.
Yeah.
And that's not unheard of. That's actually kind of...
I think in
common.
Ireland, there is no age limit.
Yeah, there is no age limit. And it makes you think about like what the societal differences and the social norms are in those countries. I feel like America is very prude on everything. Alcohol, tobacco, sex, everything. I'm big on knowledge is power. Like you need education as much as you possibly can to learn about all these different things and to know. Like I know that smoking is bad for you. It can give you cancer.
As a teacher,
yes.
Put you on the spot. You get 6 hours with these kids.
Mm-hmm.
What subject would you eliminate to add in life science, like life skills?
Interesting. So what subject of all the subjects that are so taught?
Now you're adding in life skills, like how to balance the checkbook. All these
I don't
cooking. You know, like
this will be where we disagree. I don't think that you should teach that in school. I really don't.
I don't disagree. I don't agree. I'm neutral, but why?
I think that societally, like changing a tire, learning to bake, that was all learned at home. That was what your parents taught you. That was what an uncle taught you.
Because it wasn't provided in school.
Because it wasn't provided in school.
Now, if it was, hypothetical.
I don't think that school should have to teach that because I think school should be for what your career is. I think if you're going to school, that's what you should be focusing on, what your job is going to be. Now, and this is going to be, some people are not going to like this because, you know, school from a state-run mandate, like we're taking kids and we're telling them you have to get a job from this. And I don't necessarily agree with that as well. I kind of like the, you can wear many hats and you could do a whole bunch of different things. But I think that was the idea of like, you need to learn reading, writing, arithmetic. You need to learn
your
science.
You're
going to be a chemist. Your course, right. I don't necessarily think that there's as much value in learning like how to change or to do your taxes. I think that's something that you should learn from a trusted individual in your life. Okay. I don't think a teacher should have to do that. That would be the course that I would remove is home ec. I think that should be covered by someone in your life from a societal
now, perspective.
Now,
do you think it should be an elective?
Because
correct me if I'm wrong, high schools still do not, other than language, they still do not offer electives to even have the opportunity to learn that, correct?
There's home ec courses, and that's a possibility, but it's become very, very restrictive, as in they're getting rid of them. Yes, there's a big movement in education to get rid of all those electives and say, you know what, this is what the state mandates you get tested on, so you've got to take your reading, your writing. We do biology in Pennsylvania, so you have to take a biology course. But other than that, you... Like Pennsylvania, you have to have 3 years of a science. So we do biology is mandated. But other than
biochem and physics, right?
Chemistry isn't a mandate. You can take physical science. You could take earth and space. You can
that's right.
There's all these other electives.
It's been
that
a
you
while
can take.
Since I've been in high school.
Right. But again, it's interesting that's an option of perspective. I had a good upbringing. I had someone in my father taught me a lot of this stuff. A lot of these kids don't.
My father was an Eagle Scout.
Right.
And my father...
Wait a minute. I didn't know that. Your father was an Eagle Scout? Absolutely. I didn't know
Troop
that.
Troop 11.
Wow. That's amazing.
Yep. And he just did it. And right. it was my fault because he never turned out... Hey, I'm going to grill.
Right.
Do you want to come with me?
Right.
He always offered but never pushed me. And I'm blessed to have the father I did. My dad is and was the greatest guy ever. You know that.
Right.
But he never pushed me.
Right.
And at age 35, I pick your brain constantly.
Yep.
Probably to the point of annoyance. Because, like, I wish I learned it. But in retrospect, how would I have known?
If times have changed so much and you could just go on YouTube and learn anything, that's one major difference. But again,
well, that's what usually what tough. You open with, you know, right. You could YouTube.
I did that. I did that to Christina. I was like, you know what? You can Google that. But, you know, we won't get into that fight. But, you know, it's interesting because there is a big push in education that we should be offering this information. Like we should have a course on teaching taxes.
Bringing this back home.
Mm-hmm.
I've been dying to tell you I was in a speakeasy last month.
Worry. My neighbor was just in a speakeasy. I wanted to bring
There's
that up next.
There's one in Sawyersville.
There, he was at the one in Sawyersville. That's where he was. I think it's funny that has come back into like the mainstream and that people want to go to speakeasies because he was telling me he's like 6'7".
Well, it was, I don't know if it's the same one. Like it's not active.
Right.
So there's the main building
mm-hmm.
in Sawyersville. And then the building directly next to it was recently purchased.
Yep.
There's a bar in there.
Yep.
And I was touring it for potential future business endeavors
mm-hmm.
and walked into the basement.
Yep.
The tunnels and this and that. Like, I was like, what is this? And then it hit me because you start to see.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, when you think about how America was and like, you know, you basically could go do these things that you weren't supposed to do in this hidden clandestine sort of place. And he was telling me like, you know, these actual bars that are speakeasies, like they're in basements and they have this rusted door and there's a secret knock and there's all this cool stuff. People love that like secrecy that goes around that.
Well, and you're a big fan of the Freemasons.
Right. I'm interested
stuff
in that
like
stuff.
That. It's very interesting.
Oh, absolutely. And there was a huge mafia involvement with Prohibition. And that's partly how Al Capone made all of his money is basically bootlegging and getting people things that they want. This leads me into my topic about firearms because there's now a push for obviously gun control. And there's always been a push for gun control. But, you know, do we tell people you should not own this firearm or you should do this or.
So I'm mixed. I feel like we will never see a war in U.S. territory because of the Second Amendment.
Right.
But I also feel like it needs a significant revision.
Mm-hmm.
As I puff away my cigar. I saw that. The heavy artillery that's found in some homes is dangerous. And I was just on TikTok and I saw in 1984... And times were different, and nowadays I think it would never got to this point. But a man called a psych ward and said, "I feel like I lost my mind."
Yep.
Did you ever hear this? The McDonald's massacre?
No.
In San Diego?
I believe I have heard of it, but I don't know the details.
I just saw it 2 nights ago, and I didn't even think about bringing this up. But he called the psych ward and said, "I'm having a difficult time. I'm having these hallucinations," and he was a normal guy. And it happened all in the course of a week. And he walked out, and he turned around and said to his wife, "I'm not coming back." Kissed his daughter goodbye, said goodbye. It was very cold, I guess. And he said, "I'm going human hunting."
Oh,
and that's it.
That was the line
and,
I remember.
And he loaded up.
Yep.
Shotguns, this, that. Different time. There was no smartphones. Took the police 77 minutes to get to the McDonald's. Mm-hmm. In which time, I mean, keep in mind at that time, I mean, McDonald's were still, you sit down. You have a, you know, you catch up with your friends. And I guess he massacred 45 people, workers. There was no way out. And it was very sad. It was like the things we're saying, I don't even want to repeat because I very difficult for me to get emotional. But hearing the stories this TikTok storyteller was telling, it was bad. And I feel like there needs to be some more control in terms of what you can have. Because, like we were talking off air, they had muskets.
Right.
They never thought that we would evolve in terms of weaponry to where we're at now. I think there needs to be revisions, but I don't think it needs a full elimination.
It bothers me that the police have like this militarily level of firepower that exists, but they need to because there are people out there who have access to these guns. And from a chemistry perspective, it's not that hard to come up with IEDs and improvised explosive devices. There are some bad people out there that have access to these guns, and they make these ghost guns where you can actually build them from scratch from, you know, materials that you can buy online.
Well, and I mean, that bothers me. That scares me. Boston Marathon.
Yeah.
That was pressure cooker.
Pressure cooker bomber. With enough innovation, people will get around it, and just like Prohibition, they will find a way to do the things that they want to do. I own a firearm. I'm a firearm owner. But I do think that there needs to be a little bit more control on who gets them. But then again, at the same time, you never know when it's going to happen. One day the person just snapped, like the McDonald's massacre.
It was mind-bending.
It's scary to think of that these people exist in our society. And that's where there's a very slippery slope that can happen with Prohibition.
Because then on the flip side of that, we're talking about this, but then there's people who hunt, and, you know, they have all their weaponry.
Yes, absolutely. And they have a right to go out and feed their families. And I can't imagine, there are people who actually do consume their kill. I don't like you see the pictures on Facebook of like people go lion hunting and elephant hunting for fun. That bothers me to no end because it's
especially when it comes to the elephants with the tusks.
Oh, I hate it. Yeah. It's absolutely, you know, disgusting. Like
the ivory. And, right. I mean, you're wiping out an entire species.
But again, you're doing what you want to do. And I think as a society, we've come to an interesting point where we've gotten to the step where we know a lot of these things. Like, we know gun safety is important. But, you know, we still want to do these things. We still
I feel
find
like it's
it
still a little taboo as well.
Oh, absolutely. 100%. I think I've read something that like 7 in 10 Lackawanna County residents are firearms owners. And you look out there and you're like, in Lackawanna County, if you saw 10 people, on average, 7 of them would be firearms users. Like, you would never think that. But then again, I don't necessarily look like a firearms user, but I have my piece, and I do regularly use it, and I like to go out and shoot. Shooting's fun. I actually have fun with it.
Never shot a gun.
Never shot a gun? Really? It's a lot of fun. I have a shotgun, too. I enjoy my shotgun as well.
I didn't know that.
I grew up with it. My grandfather took me shooting, and that was something. I'm a big proponent on education. If you learn enough about it and you learn how to keep it safe, you know, my stuff is all locked away. You hear about these horror stories of children getting a hold of guns and how interesting they are. And then I see my son who likes Batman now, and his new thing is he wants to be Bane. Well, in the movie, Bane has guns, and we have Nerf guns, and we're into guns or whatever. But, you know, I never want him to, at the incorrect age, to come into contact with that.
Now, do you think video games is something we should talk about,
that's
like in terms of violence?
And that's something I think we've become very desensitized to violence. I really do. You know,
we have, as a society, I feel like we've stopped taking human life in what it is.
I agree with
the
you.
Value of a human
100%.
Life.
It happens all the time. You see it in the news where somebody dies, and, you know, there's a shooting every day in Chicago.
I think the news has a lot to do with it. A lot of the propaganda.
Yep.
Good news doesn't sell.
No, it does not. You're absolutely right. And people, they like to see that. I don't know why. I think it's in our brain that we enjoy watching that, which is kind of bothersome in my mind that we have that ingrained in our society. But you're absolutely right. I mean, we're also very concerned about what other people are doing and what they have. So we need to arm ourselves. And I think that's why the Second Amendment was such a good inclusion, because from, you know, a historical aspect, if you take away the people's right to protect themselves, then you're taking away their rights to safety, especially if it comes down to them versus you. But then again, you know, when it's you're going after the police, I think there was some guy out in Oregon or something that had like himself hunkered down, and you hear about Waco and Ridge, I can't remember the name of it, of these people who are just trying to live their lives, and the police came in and basically tried to take their guns away. Yeah. From what I understand, there's never been a major gun reform. I think it needs to happen. I definitely think we've come
probably
to that
since
point.
The Second Amendment.
Yeah, they're really we've had things like the Brady Bill, and we've had things that have greatly restricted it, but assault rifle bans, and there's a big controversy on what exactly constitutes an assault rifle. An AR-15 is not an assault rifle. But at the same time, like, it is such a middle of the street sort of topic that I can't honestly say that one way is better than the other. The best thing that I can do or that I can say is you've got to be educated. If you want your kids to be exposed to guns, expose them to
them. I'm not very educated on it. My family does not do the guns.
Do you think David ever will?
That's up to him.
Right. And that's an interesting perspective, because some people would say, well, no, if I'm not into them, then I don't want my children to be into them.
I don't think he will be, just because he's 9 going on 10. I'm starting to gauge his personality.
Right.
He doesn't show the interest.
Mm-hmm.
He might do it once he has a family for protection.
Right.
And I wouldn't have a feeling on that either way. That's his choice. I don't, and that's my choice. And
I would imagine your dad probably had marksmanship when he was an Eagle Scout. He probably
shot never talked about it.
And that's interesting. My grandfather was in.
My uncle would know, but my Vietnam dad and I have never had the conversation.
Well, I was always, you know, always grew up with them and always had them. And, you know.
And I think if we did grow up with them.
Right.
And my dad as an Eagle Scout probably
right.
did.
Right. But, and that's my. Now, that's interesting because my grandfather did, but my father did not. My father's not a hunter. He never took me once. My grandfather did. But my father said, if you want to go and try it, and I didn't enjoy hunting, so I don't hunt.
Do you enjoy fishing?
Once. I do enjoy fishing. I haven't done it in forever. Christina wants to go
my
fishing.
My dad loved it, but yeah. I went once and...
Yeah, I mean, if you don't mind it...
I was like 7.
Right.
And I think now I would like it because of the calmness around
it. The peace around it, yeah.
I found myself in the busy world I live in that things that generate tranquility around me are my favorite things to do. Reading, cigars.
But do you think that you should just go out and do them? Or do you think, like, you need to research it?
In terms of what?
In terms of anything. Like, so let's say you want to go fishing. You just go and buy a pole, buy some bait, and find a boat.
You get arrested because you have a license?
Right. Like, that's the kind of stuff you that got, drives
no,
me
you're
nuts.
Right. I think you do have to research.
Absolutely. And with everything.
I think going into something blind is fools.
Right.
And you have to know what you're doing before getting into it. And if you fail, you fail.
Right.
If it takes me longer to change a piece of my car because I don't have that knowledge than a mechanic, then it is what it is, but I learn it.
You learn a lot from your failures. I know I have. I've failed so many different times, and I, you know, I'm a big proponent on failing for learning purposes, and I like to do things myself. I don't like to call anybody for help. I like to try to figure them out, and I try to use my brain as much as I possibly can.
I like to call people the first time.
I know you do. You call me the first time.
Awesome. You're usually my first time.
And that's what says
you are my... go to.
And that's why we have friends. That's
absolutely.
If I ever have a question about, we have a buddy, Josh, is at a Formula One, I think it's a Formula One race.
Yeah.
Like, he's the first person. If I want to get involved with that, I'm going to go talk to him. Or I have a buddy.
Where do I go? What?
Right. Who has a podcast on MMA fighting. If I want to, like, if I have questions about MMA, I could go on Google and research them myself, but sometimes I send him a message like, oh, hey, you know, there's a fight going on. Like, what's the big deal with this fight or whatever? Is this a title fight? Is this something? Like, I do think that as a society, we need to take advantage of the people that are educated around
us. Also, don't be afraid to learn.
Exactly.
You know, like, learning allows evolution. You know, wisdom is defined
as... But there's a catch with that. If you get all your research from Facebook and from Google... you could be learning a lot of the wrong information because everybody can post anything on the internet. And I find that sometimes if I go research something and I find out it's wrong.
I found, man, TikTok is...
Yeah, because, TikTok is fun.
Oh, yeah, that's a rabbit hole sometimes.
Yes, it is. Because you learn something and you're like, is that true? Like, that's something I wanted to bring up about the Federal Reserve. So there was a TikTok I saw that said, well, prohibition is the reason why we have income tax. And... when they got rid of all the taxes on alcohol, we needed to come up with another way to get tax money.
So that was FDR?
That was FDR who repealed the Prohibition Act and the 21st Amendment. That was FDR. But
because he's the one that did a lot of...
of the Federal Reserve. The Federal Reserve, I had to Google it. I had to look it up. Was 1913. So that was before, you know, the Prohibition era sort of came to its peak. But... we needed as a country to come up with a way to come up with funds from the public because we were in the middle of wars. 1913 is right around World War One. We were just coming back from the Civil War when there was the first income tax. From what I've researched, and this is Wikipedia and this is Google and all these sort of things, that in order to pay for these things, you needed to have a tax. And that's, we've never lost it. We've constantly had a tax on the books that takes money from us, that puts it into roads and schools and all these things that we really don't have a say in. So I don't know. I have a tough call with taxes because taxes technically fund education. right? Ultimately.
We are the only country with an Internal Revenue Service, correct?
Yeah, we talked about that one in the podcast. That's right. It's very interesting that we tax to the point that we need to have a tax refund. Like, if you think about it, if you took out the right tax the first time, you wouldn't need a refund, right?
I mean, so that's, you have the opportunity to do that.
Right.
But
oh,
most
absolutely.
Don't.
Most don't. And I've never, actually, no, I shouldn't say that. I owed once on my taxes, and that was miserable that year.
I think I would have this year.
Oh, yeah, you're going to have a real
yeah,
fun time
in
with
the future.
That
I know I am, but yeah. This year I didn't because Benny was born yep. during the pandemic, so he didn't get all the stimuluses.
As a business owner, you're going to have all these taxes levied against you, and the fairness involved with that, I mean, there was a lot of taxes on.
I feel like sometimes the government's out there prevent small businesses from growing.
I would say that you're about 90% accurate. They say that there's these small business loans and these small business people in the government, but by and large, it's very hard to do a business now with everything. I mean, I don't know how you do it. I don't know how anybody does it with the way that it goes.
I think you have to get into a recession proof. And
well, junk removal has been great for you for that regard because you were taking calls right when we were getting ready to start. I mean,
honestly.
You're busy.
We had a call, two calls come in while
right.
on air.
And that's fantastic. And that's what I think anybody who's looking for, you know, business opportunities or things to get into, you can start a business with $1,200. But, you know,
you can start a business with nothing.
With nothing. You to sustain that business with all the taxes and with.
You can do it on your phone on TikTok.
Yes, absolutely.
Do Amazon reviews, put an affiliate link and.
Right, absolutely. And we were talking about drop shipping and we were talking about all that kinds of stuff. One thing I do want to say is I had a buddy who, when we were talking about Prohibition, was like, you should give a bathtub gin recipe. Now, so gin used to be my drink of choice. I don't drink anymore. I've been sober for almost 4 years now. And I did my research on gin. And basically, all alcohol is the same. And if you get the alcohol from fermenting potatoes, you get vodka. If you get the alcohol from fermenting sugar, you have rum. If you ferment juniper berries, that's where gin comes from. And gin is a really unique flavor. It's really weird. But back during Prohibition, you used to have like bathtub gin, and you would mix all kinds of crap together in your bathtub to try to sell it and try to get around the legal aspects of Prohibition. So here's my recipe for Josh. It's a handle of vodka because, mm-hmm. you know, vodka is the easiest alcohol to obtain. You got to get 2 tablespoons of juniper berries, 1/4 teaspoon of fennel, 1/4 teaspoon of coriander, and 2 whole peppercorns and 4 cardamom pods. Put each of them in a mason jar, small mason jar, and infuse the vodka with them. Let them sit for a day. Now, you can do this like a day to 2 days, 3 days. And then afterwards, you're supposed to sip them and see like what the flavor is and then blend them together to the mixture that you like. And that's basically what they did, minus the antifreeze.
I think Josh is going to want you to
I mean, moonshine was very, very prominent back during the 20s, and that's where we get a lot of these moonshiner
shows. I love my
shows
moonshine.
And, yes, you do. This is moonshine weather. I mean, apple pie moonshine is great in the fall.
OJ moonshine.
Orange creamsicle moonshine.
That's good all year round.
And, you know, there's... The South is rampant with it because people used to go and
do
what they want.
Now, is it still predominantly homemade in the South?
Not necessarily. There are some companies that actually are legally making moonshine. You can go to like a liquor store and you can see the little mason jars and things like that.
Yeah.
But there are a lot of people who still have the copper still in the woods and they get the runs and everything like that. And look at you. We were just looking at our cigars.
Yeah.
This is the first time that you've
ever... I'm almost out.
You're almost done. I would say that that's a first for you.
Yeah. I might just hang out and listen to you.
Well, I always have something to say. What can I say?
Yeah. What can't you say?
That is also very, very true. But I think the main thing I wanted to say about Prohibition and cigars is that whatever you do is what you do. You like to straight cut. You like to cut it however you want it. You want to cut it down the middle, you do whatever you like. But there's nothing wrong with learning a little something.
Some people don't even light it. They just chew it.
Yeah, some people chew it. Some people... There's something about the experience, and that's what life is. It's about experience. Life is like a pool. If you spend all your time filtering out the garbage, you have no time to enjoy the actual pool. You just have to jump in and enjoy it every once in a while.
That's funny. We were just at a family party, and Benny and another baby... We're about to hop in a pool.
Yeah.
And it was, I don't want to say it was filthy because it wasn't by any means. But other family members were like, you're going to put the baby in that?
Yeah, I mean,
yes.
Yeah. But
because he's going to need a nap in 45 minutes. So if I spend 25 minutes cleaning it out, he's going to miss the opportunity.
Yep, absolutely. And then we just got a pool set up, and my kids have been loving it. But I spend roughly about a half hour, I feel like, every time. They're running around. They're jumping off the ladder. They're having a good time. I'm sweeping it with the screener, and I'm checking the levels of the chemicals and stuff. And I'm like, man, this sucks. Like, owning a pool actually is a lot more work than I thought it was.
In our house hunt, we have eliminated pool from...
Really?
Pools are in the con list.
That was a pro for me. I would say I
And same like with it. The griddle.
Yeah.
Like, because I just sold Jeffrey my griddle because the time needed to spend on cleaning it.
Well, you and, have, you know, your time
well,
is valuable.
Well, I told that to Jeffrey.
You can't be caught at self-checkout.
I absolutely would never respect that grill the way he has. And I had a meal off it on Sunday.
Right.
It was fantastic. And I had no regrets selling it to him. None at all.
Right.
Because I know the work needed to maintain it is an hour a week minimum. Right. And I would rather go on my grill, hit it with the brush, put the burger on, flip it a couple times. Not once like some people.
Yep.
More than one, so they don't look like brownies.
Listen, I've gotten better at grilling. Usually when we used to hang out, I used to grill. I used to be the worst. Well, when we used to hang out and grill, I used to be the worst because I'd be going and doing things and I would flip them once. I used to be in the Boy Scouts. I used to be the camp cook. I actually have a badge that's the camp cook. And I have gotten better. I have really gotten
better. I can't say the last time, but there was a time where we were sitting in this garage and you came in with the plate of... And I was like, oh, good time for brownies. And you looked at me because I was serious. And you're like, they're burgers, you ass.
I do remember that, actually. That's terrible.
I didn't even do it like to bust your balls like I normally would. Like, I legit thought we had a plate of brownies. I was excited.
And that's, you know, I didn't learn really. I have gotten better with it.
I look forward to seeing you put your money where your mouth is.
Right, I'm gonna
it's
have.
It's been a while since you cooked me a juicer.
Yep, I have not cooked. I have not grilled for a party in a while, but I'm going to have to. I would say that I am pretty much out. How about you with your
cigar? Did we hit every topic? I'm out. I'm just listening to you now.
Yep, I just about finished my cigar. Yeah, I mean, I think that we really did hit every topic that we could. I would say that as a cigar, Prohibition Cigars came up with a really good blend here. It's their OG. Supposedly, they're never coming out with this again. Supposedly.
Wow.
Yeah, that was part of the gimmick, was that, like, hey, this
I'll
is
tell
the
you what,
last
I would. I'm probably going to go on tonight or tomorrow night and get a pack. Cause
I would recommend try it. Like, everything is worth trying at least
like
once.
Like you were saying off air, I mean, they do a lot of good.
Right,
like,
absolutely.
And they do a lot of donating. And please don't take me bashing donating to businesses earlier.
No,
that's just that roundup. But you
I if you're gonna donate them, and I love the fact that they didn't tell me they were donating. That's what I love about it. They sent me an email. A donation has been made in your name. That's different.
Awesome.
That's
in your
different
name.
Than going to Target and like, oh, you want to round up and donate? It's like, no. I'll donate. I donate to Cigars for Warriors, and I do my own donations for
Definitely.
The SPCA. But I'm not gonna give my money to a company and let them donate it. No. So we covered. You don't like self-checkouts. No, I don't like self-checkouts, but you're big on,
huge
on your time.
I love my time.
Right. And we both agree that gun control, there needs to be something, right? And I think we agreed that the best thing for smoking a cigar is to find what you like. Try different things.
Different blends, different styles, different shapes,
different
sizes.
Different wrappers, different shapes and sizes, different cuts, different everything. And find what you like and never stop learning because... You know, even though I'm still a teacher and you've been done with school, you learn something new every day. I know I learned a lot from our podcast here.
Absolutely, Sam.
So, guys, thank you very much for listening to us. As always, you can catch us on Instagram at Ash Hats Podcast. I've actually been Instagramming a lot of the photos of myself and tagging Ash Hats.
Yeah, a lot of ours are now in the tag area.
Yep.
We're going to get better at that. And we say that every month, but we really are.
Yeah. And then our Twitter is Ash Hats Podcast. Obviously, it's Hats Ash. And I do tweet a lot. I do connect it to the Instagram, which is nice. And then I was perusing our Facebook, Ash Hats Podcast, and it's not quite up to date, but it does exist. So if you'd like to catch us on Facebook and...
Yeah, push us a little. Go on there and say, where are you guys?
Yeah, right.
let's hear some interaction.
When you have, 45 seconds to take a breath from work and everything. And we do have our email address. us. We do get some emails occasionally from listeners at ashhatspodcast@gmail.com. If you'd like to send us a message on a cigar you'd like us to review or some ideas or things that we said that were stupid good.
We're down for all
sometimes
ideas.
We get some good ideas.
If somebody wrote in and said, how about Dustin wear clown shoes while smoking?
There you go.
I would absolutely do it. Cowboy boots.
What can I say? So, as always, this is Mike from Ash Hats Podcast.
And this is Dustin from Ash Hats Podcast.
Smoke them if you got them and enjoy the rest of your month here. We'll see you back again in a month's time.
Have a good 4th of July, guys.
Yes, enjoy.